All right, well, let's go ahead and look into God's word together. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Okay, this is the word of God. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Let's pray one more time as we get into God's word. So, Father, we thank you for just our time together. And we pray that you will speak and that you will impart your heart into us again. That it's not going to be a time where we come and go through the usual routine. But I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will come and it will touch us, God. I just ask for, Lord, just that time of refreshing in all of our lives. And that as we hear the Word of God, that it will go forth. And that it will renew us. That it will bring about convictions in our lives. Strengthen us. It will encourage us. It will admonish us. That it will build us up, God, so that we can be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And that's what we long for today, God, that we want to hear from you, and that we want to experience your power that is at work, God, in our lives, and that we want to be shaped more and more into the image of Christ. So we thank you and we praise you, God, for this time together. Pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so today is a very special Sunday. For those of us who've been part of our church for a little bit, you know that at the beginning of every year. And so for us as a church, that every new year starts when the school year starts, because majority of our members are students. And so at the beginning of every year, we share the theme of the specific things that we really want to see happening within our church and the things that we really want to accomplish for God's kingdom. And so today is that theme Sunday for us. And so within the vision and the mission of our church, that there is a specific aim that we're going to be, there's that specific goal that we're going to be aiming for, and there's a specific direction that we're going to be heading towards. And so as I was preparing for today, for our theme Sunday, and as I was thinking about what it is that we wanted to talk about, you know, for me, I think it's a very special time because not only is it a time where we can talk about the future things, right? I don't know about you, but I love talking about future things. I love talking about where we want to go and how we want to get there and where we want to be headed and what is it that we want to try to accomplish. But not only is it a time for us to really talk about the destination that we are aiming for, but for me, it's really a time where I need to be reminded of where we've come from as a church. It's really a time that God reminds me of everything that he has been doing in our church so far and the testimonies that he's been building in us, how as a church that he's gathered us. And you know, when I think about our church, the history of our church isn't just, you know, we're about 7 years old, but it goes all the way back to that fall of 1996 when God began to bring together a handful of people at the University of Michigan with this vision of really loving college students and really starting a church because we wanted to transform lives. And not only was this church starting, but how God in his sovereign grace actually brought me to that university as a grad student. And even though that wasn't my aim of going into the ministry and being a pastor, that God was working in my heart and that through his sovereign grace that I am here today. And so I'm reminded of God's faithfulness, not only in my life, but God's faithfulness of all the lives that he has been able to transform through our church. And so when I think about where we've been, when I think about where we are, and when I think about where we are headed, you know, I think there's many ways that we can define our story. But when I think about our story, the story of our church, of what God has been doing, I don't think we can really define our story in terms of it's a story of success. Because when I think about the move of God in our lives, yes, God has been very gracious to us, and that we've been able to experience great things. And that from that small group of people who began to meet together in Ann Arbor, from there came our church. And that we've had the privilege of engaging in missions, specifically in Asia, of planting a church in Jakarta and Singapore, and this year starting another church in Jakarta and starting a church in Hong Kong. But by no means is it really a story of success, because when I think about where all of our churches are, it's not like our churches are huge, right? It's not like our churches are mega churches with lots of resources. It's not like our churches are, you know, we have the nice facilities with so much that we can offer to people. It's not like our church is really cool and hip and we all wear skinny jeans and we have tattoos. And you know, it's not that story. You know, it's not a story where we started this site and we don't know how, but every week, literally like hundreds and hundreds of people come out. By no means is it a story of success, but when I think about the story of our church, I think it's really a story of love. That when we first came down to plant this church, about 7 years ago now, that when it was a struggle for us to really stay true to this vision that God has placed in our hearts, and when it was a struggle for us to stay true to our devotion to that vision, by no means do we experience success, but we're still here and we're still fighting. That we're still dreaming big dreams and we're still running hard after the heart of God. And we're still falling and we're still messing up. And whenever we fall and whenever we mess up, God still picks us up again, because it's really a story of the love of God in our lives. I think it's really a story of God's love for me. It's a story of God's love for you as His children. It's a story of God's love for this church as His bride. And it's a story of God's love for people who are lost. And it's the story of love that God has been writing in our church. And it's the story of love that God is going to continue to write. And when I was thinking about today, I was reminded of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:14 when he says, it's the love of Christ that compels us, or it's the love of Christ that controls us. That all of us were here because it's the love of Christ that compels you. So for me, it's more than a day of let's talk about what it is that we want to accomplish. But it's really a day where we can say, may your love compel us to continue to go forward. May your love continue to drive us, so that it's not about what we can achieve, but it's about your love that is being poured out into our lives and into our church. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and remind them that it's the love of Christ that compels us. Okay. So when I think about today, it's really about the day where we can celebrate that love of Christ. And so I want to start by reminding us once again of the vision and the mission that God has put before us, right? So the vision of our church simply is what? Multiplying churches. And we want to do that where? On campuses and cities. And we want to do that for the sake of transforming the next generation. And through that, then we want to reach the nations, among the nations. And so how do we accomplish this vision? Well, we do it through transformation, by transforming lost people, which means we have to go to people who are lost, people who don't know who Christ is. And so as we share the love of Christ with them, the love of God begins to invade their lives, and He begins to transform them so that they become like Him. So we're transforming lost people into Christ's disciples. And not only do we transform them into Christ's disciples, but we send them out so that they can continue to engage in the work of transformation. So that ultimately, through this transformation that we experience as individuals, that we can experience transformation of the world through our church. Transforming lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. And this is the basics. Right? When you play certain sports, you have to come back to the fundamentals. Even if you're a pro at the NBA level, what do? You practice dribbling. You practice free shots because those are the basics. Even if you're a pro soccer player, even if you're Messi, some of you who know who he is, if you don't know who he is, then you can always Google it after service, right? Even if you are Messi, the best football player in the world, and I'm not talking about like football as in American football, but like football as in how the rest of the world defines what football is, right? What does he do? He has to come back to the fundamentals of what made him a great player. And just like that, our church, we need to constantly come back to the fundamentals, which is what? The vision and the mission that God has placed before us. And so how do we, as a church, continue to go about so that we can accomplish the vision and we can see the mission of God become a reality? Well, for this year, we're going to do that by aiming simply to be rooted. And so the theme for this year is rooted. It's not, that sounds weird, right? I feel like it should be being rooted, but it's one word, rooted. And so it's being rooted in our relationship with God, and it's being rooted in our partnership with one another. Being rooted in our relationship with God and being rooted in our partnership with one another. Okay? So I'm going to try to make this as interactive as possible to make us a little bit more lively and excited. So once again, turn to now the other person that you didn't want to talk to in the first place and let them know we want to be rooted in our relationship with God and we want to be rooted in our partnership with one another. All right? Too much? Come on, y'all are UT students. This should be like... All right, we want to be rooted in our relationship with God, and we want to be rooted in our partnerships with one another. And so that's where we come to Ephesians 4, 3:14 through 21. So we want to break up this talk into two different parts. So first of all, I want to talk about the aim. So as I've been praying and as I've been really seeking God, I feel like these are the things that God has been brewing in my heart. And so I want to share my heart with you. In this theme of rooted, I feel like it should be being rooted, but it's root. Okay, so in this theme of rooted, being rooted in our relationship with God and in our partnership with one another, what is it that I want our church to experience? That I would love for us to experience together as the body of Christ. And then after that, we want to talk about the picture. So how does this picture of being rooted in our relationship with God and that partnership with one another, how is this going to look? So first of all, let's talk about the aim. There's five different things that we want to be aiming for. And this is really the thing that I'm dreaming for as a church. And I'm going to believe by faith that this is the direction that God is really going to move us towards. Okay? So first of all, I feel like as we're being rooted in our relationship with God, as we're being rooted in our partnership with one another, it means that we're going to become mature, that we're going to experience maturity as people. Okay? And when I say maturity, I'm not just talking about like spiritual maturity as in, gosh, I got to pray more and I got to fast and I got to read the Bible. I mean, those things are true because we can never escape being rooted in the Word of God. We can never escape praying. And hopefully you guys are engaging in things like fasting and so forth. But I'm just talking about like maturity as in growing as people. Because in order for us to grow in our relationship with Christ, we need to just be people who are responsible. Because the thing is, even if you want to accomplish great things, like if your life is a mess, then there's no way that God is going to take us to higher heights. And there's this video that I recently saw, but I just couldn't find it. So I wanted to show it to us, but I couldn't find it. No matter how much I Googled it, I looked it up on YouTube, I just couldn't find it. I had no idea. I have no idea where it is. Maybe God removed it. But let me describe a little bit of what this video looks like, right? So this video is this mom and dad, they wake up, and right away, it's silent the whole time, but they're right away from the morning, like they're fighting. So he's putting on his clothes and he's tying his tie, but they're like arguing and she's getting ready. And it looks like they're getting ready to go to work. And then so they have a little daughter and he goes into the room and They're trying to wake her up, and they get into an argument, and you know that they're going back and forth, and then all of them get into the car, and they're still like arguing, and then the next picture is they pull up to a parking lot, and everyone gets out, and then the next picture is they're all sitting in the pews, singing a song, raising their hands, and worshiping God. And there's something wrong with that, right? I mean, intuitively, you know that, gosh, there's something wrong with that. Because it's just all an act. And I feel like for many of us, that's how it is. And I'm not saying our worship to God isn't genuine. But what I'm saying is that sometimes what we try to do here, it's not reflected in how we live our lives. And so for instance, if you are a student, and if you can't wake up to go to class, all right, I'm not looking at anyone. If you cannot wake up to go to class and be a responsible student, then there is no way that you can be a responsible witness. And I'm not saying like we need to raise up students who get 4.5s. Not even 4.5, you have to get 8 plus. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm just talking about learning to be a responsible human being. Because being a responsible human being reflects the heart of God. That if you can't love and serve your roommates, then there's no way that you're going to be able to reach out to people and share the love of Christ with them who are so difficult. That we want to be mature, that we want to learn to be responsible, and not just being responsible, but we want to be mature and just being able to also take risks. And not taking risks for the sake of taking risks, but risks as the Spirit of God leads us, and being mature and being visionaries. That's something that Pastor Tufu and I, we've been talking about a lot, that we want to raise up visionaries in our church. People who don't just fall in line and do what they're expected to do, because that's what the church is doing, so this is what is expected of me, but no. People who are visionaries, in other words, people who have a vision for the greatness of God. And so that when we talk about things like outreach, or when we talk about things like class unity, or when we talk about things like healthy families, it's not, okay, that must mean that this is what I'm supposed to be doing because that's what they're talking about as a church. But no, you have the vision of the greatness of who God is, and you have the vision of this great God moving in your life so that as we talk, it's not just, okay, I need to do what the church is doing. But man, it's resonating within me because that is the burden of my own heart. And so we want to raise up mature people. And so we want to do that through all the different channels and the means that we have, whether it's access, whether it's life groups, whether it's Sunday celebration, whether it's just getting together, whether it's, by the way, we have this thing called coffee hour. I know we haven't talked about this in a while, but as our church gets a little bit older, or not older, a little bit bigger and bigger, it just becomes a little bit harder for even myself and maybe for Pastor Tufu as well, just to meet up with students. You know, when our church was smaller, it's like, hey, you want to get together? Hey, you want to get together? Because, you know, we see you guys. It's not that we don't see you guys. But as our church gets bigger, it gets a little bit harder. And so we have this thing called coffee hour where you can go ahead and sign up online and say, hey, I would love to get together with one of the pastors, right? Because, I mean, hopefully, by the way, I'm getting sidetracked a little bit, but hopefully, I mean, if this is going to be your spiritual home, and if I'm going to be your pastor, then hopefully you'll want to get to know your pastor a little bit, and I would love to get to know you, and I would love for you to buy coffee, all right? That's why it's called coffee hour. We'll have coffee, and we'll talk, and hopefully that'll be an opportunity for you to get to know us, and then we can get to know you as well. And so we want to use every opportunity that we have to remind us that it's really about God shaping us into people, not just learning to be good worshipers on Sunday, but being faithful with everything that God has placed in our lives. So learning to become mature. So we're going to become mature as people. Second thing that we want to aim for is that we want to prayerfully raise up workers for God's kingdom, that we want to prayerfully raise up workers workers for God's kingdom. And for me, this falls in two realms. First of all, you know, this is something that we've been talking about, but I want to be a little bit more strategic in how we talk about this, that every single one of us, that we are called to be workers in God's kingdom. And so how we engage that in that work, during, depending on the life stage that you're in, it might look different. So for majority of you, you are called to be a worker in God's kingdom as a student. But as you get older, and as you move on, and as you graduate, and as you get your jobs, then we want to send you out, not as students who are graduating, entering into a workplace, but as missionaries who are going to continue to carry on the work of building God's kingdom. So you don't see yourself as an engineer or a dentist or a graduate student or a doctor or, you know, whatever it is, lawyer or whatever it is that you are aiming for, a teacher. But you see yourself as someone who is engaged in the work of building God's kingdom, that you are a missionary. That for those of us who are already in the workplace, that you are there not just to earn your paycheck, that you are there not just to build up your careers, and you are there not just because through your work you find satisfaction. And all those things are valid, but you are there because you are there to be missionaries for God's kingdom. And so think about it. As a missionary, if you are on the missions field, then who do you work for? You work for the person that sent you. In our case, that's God. And so when you are a working adult in that company, and when you have this identity that I am called to be a missionary, then how you engage in that work, it completely changes. Because you are no longer working for your boss. You are no longer doing things so that you can earn favor, so that you can somehow move up, or you can get that cushy position, or you can get that raise, or whatever it may be. And so that's one of the goals that I have, that if you leave this campus, and then when you enter into the workforce, then we're going to send you out as missionaries. That you're going to go into the city to touch lives and to lives of people and to love them with the love of Christ. But not only that, but my second thing that I want to really focus on this year is that we want to raise up the next generation of kingdom workers. Specifically, we want to raise up pastors and missionaries. And I'm going to believe by faith that some of you sitting out there, that this is the specific calling that God is going to place in your hearts. Now, don't get me wrong. All of us were called to engage in the work of God's kingdom. But some of you, I'm going to believe by faith that God is going to call you into the work of being in full-time ministry. That we need to raise up the next generation of pastors. That we need to raise up the next generation of missionaries. Which means some of you, God's going to completely catch you off guard, like how he caught me off guard. And you're thinking right now, there's no way. Pastor Ben must be talking about someone else. Maybe. Maybe I'm talking about someone else, but maybe God's talking about you. So we want to raise up the next generation of pastors and missionaries, and to challenge some of us to think about what is it that you want to invest the rest of your life into. And I'm not saying pastoral ministry is the only way. It's not. It's one of the ways. But what I'm going to challenge you to think about is that the calling that God has for you? Or are you even afraid to maybe pray through it because of X, Y, and Z? Because my parents aren't going to like it. Or whether that's not the thing that I really want to aim for in the first place. I'm going to believe by faith that as we continue to raise up disciples, that some of you, that God is going to place this dream in you for the pastoral ministry and to raise you up as missionaries. Third thing that we want to be aimed for, that we want to actively move towards being a multiplying church. Right? That's in the vision statement of our church. That we want to multiply churches, which means what? We want to be proactively engaged in planting churches. The reason why planting churches is important for us is because that's how we want to do missions, which means I'm dreaming that within the next 3 to 5 years, that I would love to see us being a multiplying church. Specifically, how is this going to work? I have no idea. But I'm going to be actively praying. God, allow us within the next 3 to 5 years to be a multiplying church, which might mean that we might start another church in Austin. And some of you, as you graduate, maybe stick around, get a job, that's the vision that God is going to give you, to be part of that church plant, maybe south of Austin, and reach that specific group of people, or maybe the east side of Austin. I know that some of you have a heart for the Latino community that lives in that area. Maybe that might mean that God is actually going to raise some of us up, and God is going to send us to a different city or maybe a different country altogether. I don't know exactly how it's going to look, but all I know is that God is going to, he's not going to show us 10 steps, but he's going to show us one step. And as we are faithful in taking that one step, then he's going to show us the next step, the next step, the next step, which means we need to be serious in raising up and strengthening our ministry teams. Because we want to raise up people who understand what it means to do ministry. Not ministry in the context of, you know, like learning to set up speakers and shaking hands with people as they come in. No, learning the heart of the ministry. Of why we come together before we even serve to pray. Of why we ask people to commit when they commit to a ministry team. Why we challenge people to sacrifice your time and energy and effort. And why we challenge people that when you serve, it's never going to be on your terms. Because that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. That we want to strengthen our ministry teams. Which means that we need to raise up disciples who will be willing to count the cost of following Christ. When I think about the legacy of our church, that's the legacy of our church. When our church first started, 96, on the campus of the University of Michigan, it was a group of people who counted the cost. When our church was sent here, not only with that original team, but some of our leaders now who came down because they experienced the power of God in their lives when they were a student at the University of Michigan campus. It was started with people who are willing to count the cost. And that's the legacy I feel like we as a church needs to continue to reproduce. And that we as a church are not going to be ashamed in calling people to count the cost. And we realize not everyone is going to respond to the vision, and that's okay. Because how you respond is not dependent on me, but it's really dependent on how God is going to work. But what I can do is to pray. And I'm going to ask God to bug the heck out of some of your hearts. To bring about such deep conviction. To know that if you were to do X, Y, and Z versus A, B, C, and I don't know what that X, Y, and Z is. That you know beyond a shadow of doubt in your heart that you are sinning. Because God is making this path before you so clear. But ultimately, what we need to do is we need to teach people to give faithfully and to give generously. Because if we're serious about being a multiplying church, that means we're going to need what? People power. Right? We actually need people to go and to start the church. It means we need the Holy Spirit power. Because we realize it's not just about what we're able to do, but it's the Spirit of God who's able to work, which means we need people who will be willing to pray. Even though you might not go, that you're going to be willing to pray and you're going to persevere and you're going to interact with the Spirit of God through your prayers. It means we need to raise up people who will give financially. Because it takes monetary resources to send out missionaries and to start churches. And you know, the funny thing is, maybe this isn't the best place to talk about financial giving, because majority of you are students and you're thinking about financial giving. I have $10, so I can give a dollar. But that's all right, because that's always been the history of our church, right? I don't know why, for some reason, the way that we do this, it's always the hard way. It's always with college students. And don't get me wrong, I love college students. But you know the thing about college students? They're poor. But maybe what God is trying to show us, it's not about college students, it's not about working people, but it's about people who are faithful in giving, not only generously, but joyfully. And that we can experience the miraculous power of God. Right? Because I'm thinking, if Jesus can multiply the fish and the loaves, and that's not just a made-up story. I mean, if he can do that, then why can he not do that with whatever that we're willing to give, whether it's our treasure, time, or talents? So we want to actively move towards multiplying churches or being a multiplying church. The fourth thing that we're aiming for is that we want to live to love where we are. That we want to live to love where we are, which means that we're not going to separate ourselves from the city. That we need to be fully engaged. And I know that majority of you being university students and some of you not being from the city of Austin, you're thinking, well, I'm only here for 4 years. Who cares? Well, I care because I am going to believe by faith that some of you, you're actually going to be here longer than 4 years. That some of you, this is the city that God is going to call you to love and to invest into and to build his kingdom here in this place. And that's why for Missions Week, specifically this upcoming year, instead of focusing on out there, the nations, that we're going to focus on missions here. And we're going to specifically talk about missional initiatives, how we can go into the various aspects and the needs of our city, and how we can at least do our part in being salt and light. That which means that we're going to continue to challenge our members to love the city, to love the city. Even if you're going to be here for 2 years, love the city. If you're going to be here for 60 years, love the city. Because this is the city that Christ has called you to. And this is a city that he loves so dearly. That we're going to live to love where we are. And lastly, we're going to experience God adding to our numbers daily. We're going to experience God adding to our numbers daily. When I think about the health of our church, because it's not just about being a church, but it's about being a healthy church. So what does it mean to be a healthy church? For me, what it means to be a healthy church is that every single one of us, that we're able to reflect who Christ is. And so when you think about biblically who Christ is, not only is he the Son of God, but the Son of God became like us to what? To serve. Paul makes that very clear. Philippians 2:7, that he took on the form of a servant. And so when we serve, how do we serve? We serve by loving others. And that's why for me, things like experiencing ministry and getting involved in ministry teams is so important, because it's not just the act of serving on a ministry team. Because it's not just, okay, I'm serving on this ministry team to earn the love of God for my life. No, it's as the love of God is working within you that you are learning to serve. And so I've been telling our leaders, the way that I really gauge the health of where we are as a ministry, it's really thinking about how many people, first of all, are getting involved in our ministry. Not because they're being pressured to, not because this is what they're expected to, but really as the love of Christ is moving in their lives, that they're being conformed more to the image of Christ, and they understand that my identity as a follower of Christ is to serve, to love. And not only that, but how many people are actually going out and sharing the gospel? Because when I think about even the Acts story of God adding to the numbers daily, it's not just God bringing the people and the people of God like sitting back and saying, oh, cool, wow, fantastic, look at what God is doing. No, as they are being the church that God has called them to be, as they're going out into the marketplace, as they're engaging with their neighbors, as they're talking to them about the transformation that they're experiencing in their own lives, guess what? God begins to rouse the curiosities of people around them. And so he adds to their numbers daily. And this is not just a story of the book of Acts, but this has been the story of the church. And I'm not just talking about adding to our numbers daily, as in that means starting from today. Next Sunday, we're going to expect 10 more people. And then next Sunday, we're going to expect 20 more people. And so it's going to be this exponential growth. And by the end of this year, we're going to expect 50,000 people, all the UT students. I'm not talking about adding to our numbers daily in that sense. But I'm talking about adding to our numbers daily in transforming our hearts, transforming the things that we're aiming for, transforming our expectations. So how is this going to look? So let's close with this, the picture. And so this is when we jump into Ephesians 3 passage. I believe that as we aim to be deeply rooted in God and in our partnership with one another, the fruit or the fruits of being rooted, it's going to look in three ways. Specifically, first of all, it means that we're going to be connected to God's power. The picture of us being rooted in God and the partnership with one another means that we're going to be connected to God's power. And that's what Paul talks about, verses 14 through 17a. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of the glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And within that, there's three aspects of being strengthened and being empowered that Paul talks about. So what kind of strength and power is Paul talking about here? First of all, it's the strength and the power that comes through the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, it's supernatural power. And not only is it strength and power that comes from the Holy Spirit of God, secondly, he says it's the strength and the power that is built up within us. So in other words, it's not just stuff that we can accomplish, but it's the things that God is doing within us, that through his strength and his power, that he's building us up from within. So what we do on the outside is reflecting what God is doing on the inside. And ultimately, it's the strength and the power that points you to Christ who is dwelling in your heart. It's the strength and the power that reminds you of who Christ is. So we need to be connected to God's power. But not only that, the second picture that we see is that we need to be anchored in God's love, that we are being anchored in God's love. Verse 17b through 19, this is what Paul continues to write. He says, "That you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." In other words, what Paul is saying, when you think about the love of God, it is so incredible. It is so awesome. It is nothing like what you've ever experienced or can even expect. This love of Christ, Paul says, that we will never fully be able to comprehend the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The word surpass there means far greater than human wisdom and knowledge. What does that mean? I believe what it means is that when we anchor ourselves in the love of Christ, first of all, it's tender, right? Have you ever experienced tender love? Right? Tender love is like when you're 5 years old and when you're biking and you fall and you scrape your knee and you run to your mom. What does your mom say? "Little boy, suck it up. Get back out there and learn to ride the bike again." No, that's not tender love. Tender love is, oh, cleaning the wound, putting a Band-Aid on, making you hot chocolate, giving you some cookies, and then saying, "You can do it. Go out there. Mama loves you." That's the tender love of Christ. But not only is his love tender, but I think what Paul is saying is that at times his love is firm. That his love is firm. which means that at times you're not going to be able to comprehend how the love of Christ is working and shaping you. Because you're thinking, is this the love of Christ? If God really loves me, then why am I stuck in this city? But he says, love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Because as parents, sometimes not only do you have to show tender love, but you have to show firm love. Right? When my kids come to me and say, Daddy, can I play with the iPad? Yes. They get to play with the iPad for 45 minutes once a week. That's the deal that we worked out. But if they come to me and say, can we play this again? And I say, no. Why do I say no? Is it because like I'm cruel? And I know that some of you are like shaking. This is a cruel father, right? No, it's because I don't want their brains to turn mush. Because I hopefully, as a 41-year-old man, know better than a child who is 6 years old. And even though my six-year-old son might not be able to comprehend my love for him, I always tell him, wait until you become a father. Don't worry. You'll understand then that Daddy loves you. That sometimes the way that God is going to demonstrate his love in our lives, it's going to be firm. But we have to trust and that we have faith to believe in God. That we have to anchor ourselves in the love of God, which means that we can't trust in our feelings. But we have to trust in the Word of God. And lastly, the picture of what it means for us to be rooted, it's going to look like this, that we are overflowing in our worship of God. That we are overflowing in our worship of God. Paul finishes it like this. Verse 20 on, he says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Or if you're from somewhere else, amen. See, as Paul is finishing this encouragement to the Ephesians, saying, this is how I am praying for you, what he is saying is, look to Christ. Because it's not me that you're going to find your encouragement, but it's going to be Christ who's going to continue to strengthen you. And in that experience of the love and the strength of Christ, what I'm praying is this overflowing of worship. That it's all about his glory. That it's all about the privilege, not, oh my gosh, I have to worship. No, we get to worship. I don't know when, but someday I am dreaming, and I don't know if this is going to be possible, but I'm dreaming of a day when someday that God might open up that door for me to get into a Ferrari and actually drive on a proper racing track. Someday, even if it's like 15 minutes, someday I am praying and believing by faith. And when that day happens, for me, I'm not going to be like, you know what, it's just a Ferrari. I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, this is a Ferrari. Selfie, right? Selfie. I'm going to savor every moment of it. And if someone says, you know what, you want to go around the lap again? I'm not going to be like, ah, you know what, I drive a Honda Accord, so it's all right. Are you kidding? I'm going to jump at that opportunity. And so this is what Paul is writing. When we worship God, it is a privilege that we have. Because we are able to connect to the heart of God, this creator of this universe, that in our worship that he fills in us with his joy and love. To him who is able to do far more than we can ask or think. That it's about his glory. My prayer is that everything that we do this year, that it will be from this overflowing heart of our worship of who God is. That it's going to be all about the glory of God. And that glory of God will be manifested as we gather together as his people. So the one thing is simply this, that we need to be rooted in the faithfulness of God. We need to be rooted in the faithfulness of God. Because when I think about everything that I talked about, the things that we are aiming for, my encouragement to us is not what? All right, guys, let's get to work. It's not, that means you got to shape up. It's not anything that we can do. That means that we have to fall on our knees and we have to beg God to work in and through our lives, because that is something that only the Holy Spirit of God can do. So this is how we're going to roll this out, two specific ways. And this is what I'm going to ask you to commit to. First of all, I was thinking about like doing like a commitment card and all that stuff, but I feel like this is it, all right? These two things. And I feel like if you are committed to these two things, then God is going to work. I feel like he's going to do so much more than what we are even envisioning. All right, so here are the two things. First of all, that means I need you to be committed to that one thing that's going to help you to take that step forward in rooting yourself in God's heart. I don't know what that one thing is for you, but all I'm asking you this year is to have faith and to risk in taking that one step forward. Okay? So think about what that one step, God is not saying 10 steps, but he's saying one step of where you are in your relationship with God. Some of you, you are just starting off in your relationship with God. That's great. That one step is going to look like you exploring the heart of God. How do you do that? Through his word. Maybe you're going to bug your life group leader, teach me how to pray. Some of you, you're on this journey with God, and you've reached this point where you're like, man, I feel like my Christian life is all about what I can do. And it can't be about what I can do, but it has to be about what the Spirit of God can do within me. And so what you are praying for is, God, I'm going to take that step forward for your anointing to fall upon me. And I'm going to pray specifically for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's gift of faith, whether it's gift of love, whether it's gift of whatever it is. Just think about where you are and what that step is going to be for you. Secondly, it means that we're going to be committed. I need you to be committed in praying for at least one other person in our church. I'm not saying praying for your entire class. I'm not saying praying for your entire life group, although I hope that you do that. Pray for at least one person and be committed in praying for that one person. Maybe it's going to be that one person in your life group. Maybe it's going to be your LCG. Maybe it's going to be that person that you know is falling away in their relationship with God, and you're going to be committed in praying and pouring out your heart. I need you to take that step forward in faith. And I need you to be committed in praying for at least one person in our church. And I'm going to believe by faith that as we do that, that God is going to show us and teach us what it means to be rooted in his heart. And that's the thing that really gets me excited. I mean, think about this life that is rooted in the heart of God and what God is able to accomplish in and through our lives. I want to show us. So I was thinking, visually, how do we picture this? Visually, how we picture this is this, right? When we think about an iceberg, what we see is the top, and that's such a small portion. But what anchors this iceberg is what we can't see. And when I was thinking about it, this is such a good picture of where we need to be. It's not about the top as in what we are able to accomplish within our own means. Right? So when I think about it, by the end of this year, once again, for us, year starts from where school ends, or excuse me, where school starts and where school ends. So by the end of this year, for us, if that means that we're going to pray for 15 people to come to know Christ, but if that 15 people is about what we are able to do, then I feel like we failed in pursuing after the heart of God, because it's not about what we are able to do, but it's about the bottom, the unseen of what the Holy Spirit of God is able to do in and through our lives. I think this is, for us, the picture of what it means to be rooted. What it means to be rooted in our relationship with God. What it means to be rooted in our partnerships with one another. To focus not on what is seen, but to focus on what is unseen, yet it anchors us. Turn to that person and let them know, may you be an iceberg for God's kingdom. Amen. Let's stand together as we close out.